text this evening comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read that first, but we'll also be reading Lord's Day 52 in the back of the Trinity Psalter this time. And that's on page 896. So we'll only be reading question 127 this evening out of Lord's Day 52. So page 896. But first, we're going to read God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6. So after the Corinthians, you get to Galatians, and you keep turning to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 10 through 13. People of God, this is God's very word, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There ends the reading of God's Word. Now we'll jump to Lord's Day 52, question 127, and I'll read the question, if you could respond with the answer. So question 127 reads, what does the sixth petition mean? As we're about to finish the Heidelberg Catechism, the last Lord's Day 52, and I'm going to break it into two parts. You're like, oh no, no. I thought it would be good just to cover the last petition of the Lord's Prayer in one service, and then we'll jump to finish next week, Lord willing, to complete the Catechism, all 52 Lord's Days, which probably took us like 83 Lord's Days, but you know, the Lord's still good, and yeah, and if we've been going through these, we take question 127 separately, because sometimes as the church, we get too full of ourselves. We do. We become too full of what we can do because we are in Christ. And we take our eyes off of the one who gives us the power, and we put our eyes on ourselves and think, yeah, we could do this. We got this. We're Christians. And that's a problem, isn't it? And that's a problem. Last week we celebrated what? The resurrection of our Lord. Right? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Not even death could hold him back, could it? Think about it. And after his resurrection, we read in Matthew chapter 28 this. We've all heard this. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? We're commanded to go. We're commanded to do. We're going to conquer the world for Jesus. And every once in a while, we stop. We see how the mission's going, and we look around, and we think, why isn't it going any better? Why do we still have enemies that we are fighting tooth and nail? Why are there enemies still fighting against the kingdom of God? Didn't Christ just say all authority has been given to Him? Right? And somehow the idea we get in our minds is, well, don't we have the power to change the world? Why aren't we doing better? But when we start to think like that, beloved, that's when we get, put it in a coarse way, I guess, we get our hind knees handed to us, and we run back like a beaten animal licking our wounds. And again, we wonder why. So tonight, I think it's good for us to stop and see that it's not us that changes anything but the Lord. Right? It's Christ that does it. Right? It is not us that can change anything, but Christ who does everything. We still have to fight the daily battles against not only one enemy, not only two enemies, but as we read, we have three enemies trying to destroy us. And if we think for one moment that we can do this by ourselves, well, beloved, we're going to lose. We're going to fail. And that's not what we want, is it? That is why the Lord taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this shouldn't be a surprise. Who's doing the delivering here? Are we delivering anything? Of course not. No, we pray that the Lord delivers us. Even though the decisive battle is over and the war is won, we still have to keep fighting against the enemy that wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy us. Not just a little bit, but everything. He wants to wipe us out. And if we rely on our own strength for this, guess what? We are going to lose. But we have a secret weapon, as we read. The Holy Spirit. We're going to see all these things coming together in 3 points tonight. The first point is the warning. We're going to receive a warning tonight. And then we're going to get to see the response. What is our response to the warning? And finally, we're going to see the power. And beloved, the power isn't us. It's Him. Because beloved, your adversary seeks your soul. And you need to pray that God, the God of all grace, will sustain you to the very end. Beloved, too many of us, me included, after a while, think we can do this on our own, and we can't. And that's when we start to fail. So we start with the catechism tonight. Look at question 127. The question is, and lead us not into the question is, what does the petition mean? The answer is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means, we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And beloved, I want to ask you, how does that make you feel? When someone comes up to you, you're weak. You're like, no, I'm not. You get your chest puffed up. No, I'm not. I'm strong. I can do this. You can't. Beloved, you can't. You are so weak. I'm going to rephrase this. We, because I want to add me in there, not just you. We are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. Listen to this from Psalm 103. For He knows our frame, and He remembers what? That we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and he's gone. And its place remembers it no more. We are so weak, we cannot stand for a moment. See, not only are we so weak, we have sworn enemies that are continuously attacking us, that want to do whatever they can to bring us down. See, the catechism goes on to say, you have sworn enemies, not just enemies that are, they just don't like you, right? No, the devil, he just doesn't like you. No, he's your sworn enemy. He's going to do whatever it takes to take you down. The devil, the world, and even our own flesh never stop attacking us. Never. Last year when we went through 1 Peter, this is exactly what he was trying to tell these first century Christians. These first century Christians were on this wilderness journey, and they were living in a new world now for them. They left their Gentile world, and now they're Christians. And they realize, wait a second, why isn't this easier than it should be? Well, why is it so hard? I thought Christ was ruling. Why are we getting beaten? We have those same questions, don't we? Peter says this. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the devil has been defeated. We believe that. Right? The devil has been defeated at the cross. The tomb is empty. But he's not going to give up fighting until the Lord himself throws him into the lake of fire. Right? Things haven't changed in 2,000 years. The devil is still our enemy. He's still looking to devour us. But even before that, the people of God in the Old Testament, the saints of the Most High, the devil was after them. Beloved, you remember the story of Job? I think we all remember the story of Job. I want to read a little bit of chapter 1. A little bit. Chapter 1. Listen to how the devil works. Because it's not the same way, but it's similar for us. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, well, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And later God does give Satan permission to touch his person, doesn't he? Just don't take his life. You know, beloved, the devil says the same thing about you. Do you fear God for nothing? Right? Think about it. We pray to have a hedge of protection put around us. Have you not made a hedge of protection around him, around his household, around all these? You bless the work of his hands. Right? The devil wants to curse you. He wants to say lies about you. He's out to destroy everything that you have. Looking at our text this evening from the Apostle Paul. See, the Apostle Paul warns us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on your armor. Right? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the warning. For you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Brother, the devil's out to get you. A lot of people in the world don't believe the devil or in the devil or what he can do to you. Guess what? He was Job's adversary. He was Jesus' adversary. He was Peter and Paul's adversary. And guess what? He's your adversary. And you've seen what the devil can do to the people. people of God. You know, I don't know how many of you have had enemies or adversaries before, but it scares me a little. It would scare me to have an enemy that was seeking my destruction. I don't think I would take it lightly if I knew that I had an adversary wanting to tear me down at all moments. When you hear that I need to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and he's not talking about the current government, he's talking about spiritual powers. Listen, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. You know, when you see the word hosts in Scripture, you need to think of angels, okay? Angels. So these are wicked, fallen angels that are out to get you. And that's only one of our enemies. This is just the devil. The devil and his minions. We also have to fight against the world. What are you doing against that? We also have to fight against our own flesh. Beloved, how many of us stop to think, wait a second, we're in a battle? Yes. Not only are you in a battle, your enemy is hunting you. See, we have hunters in this congregation. We know how hard it is to hunt prey. And guess what? The devil's the best hunter. Think about all the effort you put into it. Not one of you has the skill of the devil. And he's hunting you. He's the ultimate hunter. He's seeking to devour you. Think about how he devoured Job, his property, his possessions, his children, covered his body in sores. See, our enemy doesn't play games. And I'm saying all this, and I'm building it up for a reason, because I don't think we take it serious enough. Because I think that in the church and the world today, we think in ourselves, we can do this. And beloved, I'm telling you right now, you can't. You can't do this on your own. The devil isn't some make-believe guy with a pitchfork and a long tail and red. He's not. No, it's real. And the catechism goes on to say, they, being the three things that are attacking us all the time, they never stop it. They never stop attacking. So we've been warned. Now what's our response? Right, point two. Point two, the Apostle Peter. We'll go back to Peter. And what he told those first century Christians, he's telling us, resist him. Really what he's saying is fight back. See, if you knew your enemy was after you, would you just allow him to take free shots? I hope not. See, Peter's telling them to stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings you are experiencing, your brothers all around the world are doing the same. See, you're not alone in this. We're not the only ones being attacked. All Christians are under attack. The people of God have been under attack since the garden. That hasn't changed and it won't change. But how did they respond? They stood up. They fought back. If we read in Scripture, we hear how the apostles were telling them how to do these things. Think of the book of Jude. Jude writes this, to contend earnestly for the faith. What's that mean? To fight for it. And the Apostle Paul gives us more when we look at verse 11 of our text. Put on the whole armor of God. Then you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. And then he repeats it again in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Beloved, are you doing all to stand? Or do you think you can do this on your own? You need to fight. You need to resist. So our response is put on the armor. the different pieces of the armor. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Right? What's truth? Well, the Word of God. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Not ours, Christ. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Knowing the good news. Knowing that the price has been paid in Christ. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Remember, he's hunting you. He's shooting arrows at you. Are you going to put up the shield? Take the helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, I always loved how he tags on verse 18 there. It's like the artillery in the background, just firing artillery. Those are your prayers. How many of you guys pray about that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. See, our response is, beloved, is to see the enemy. See the source. See the temptations coming. See where the opposition is coming from. And to stand and fight. Which brings us to the last point. What have I been saying? You can't do this on your own. So we need somebody to give us this power. Right? This belief. And our last point brings us to this. The power. Because, beloved, it is not our power, is it? That's going to make us succeed. But it's His power. Going back to the Catechism, question 127 ends with this. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by what? The power of Your Holy Spirit. So that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Uphold us, make us strong by the power of Your Holy Spirit. First Peter says this to us. He writes this, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that all those things happen. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that God will perfect you. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that God will establish you, that God will strengthen you, that God will settle you. And I love that last part because there's a lot of the time we're not settled, are we? We get rattled easy. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll settle you. When you come under the attack of the devil and you get rattled, where do you find your power? Holy Spirit. See, if it were up to us, we'd be in bad shape. We've been there. But beloved, it's not up to us. It just isn't. We pray that our Father will deliver us from evil. Remember what we talked about this morning if you were here? What did Jesus say? Let us go to the other side of the lake. Let us go to the other side of the lake. Jesus was planning on being on the other side of the lake. Father, deliver us from evil. He's going to deliver you. He just will. Do you believe that? Talking about storms and trials this morning. He will deliver you. When it seems like we're getting attacked from all sides, do you believe that the Lord will deliver you? I hope you do. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians here. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So if you're going to think you can do this by yourself, guess what? You're not. He goes on to say, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, when you're under attack, when the devil's attacking you, or the world's attacking you, or even your own flesh, because it will happen, God is faithful. You will find a way of escape. Going back to the catechism. And so, Lord, uphold us. You shout that out. Lord, uphold me. I'm being attacked. Make us strong. Lord, make me strong. How? Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. So that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight. But spiritual fights come in many, many different ways. Know it's even a spiritual fight. And I'm not going to say that all depression or anxiety is spiritual fight, but sometimes it is. Right? When you feel alone, sometimes it's a spiritual fight. When you feel like everyone is against you, that could be a spiritual fight that you're battling. See, the devil's going to use anything at his disposal to keep you doing for what the Lord wants you to be doing. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, without knowing who you are in Christ, you will be defeated. But if you know who you are, and you know that you're putting on the armor of God, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can withstand these attacks. See, beloved, you're not on your own. What do I say every time we leave this place after service? You are not alone. No, the Lord is with you. He loves you. Remember this morning, He cares for you. And He will give you the grace that is needed to resist your enemies until finally we win the complete victory. The complete victory. The power that you have in Christ by His Holy Spirit can and will get you through. Now, that doesn't mean we won't fall sometimes. We will. But what do? We dust ourselves back up, right? We get up, we stand back up, and we fight. And we pray to receive grace upon grace. Is real, isn't it? But it's only temporary. God Himself will perfect, strengthen, and establish and settle us in this battle. And those who are struggling with sin, which is probably all of us, God will perfect you. Do you believe that? You know, sometimes the devil will use that against you. You're a sinner. Well, of course I am. You're never going to be more than a sinner. Well, guess what? God's going to perfect me one day. But that's how you have to think. Right? For those of us that doubt that the Lord loves us, that the Lord's with us because of life's trials, guess what? God will strengthen you. For those of us who feel weak, God will give, He'll make you strong. And what is the promise for those who have lost everything, who have given up everything for the kingdom of Christ? God says, you get eternal life. You know, sometimes when we think about that as a reward, we can't really process that. Well, okay, eternal life, yeah, I get that. That is huge. That's huge. For those who have lost everything and have given up everything for the kingdom of Christ, God will reward you with eternal life. See, the point is whatever battle that you are battling right now, either against sin or against the world or against the devil himself, whatever might be taken away from us now, however he wounds us now, Christ promises to replace it all. He promises you an inheritance that cannot fade or tarnish or ever be taken away. Christ promises that there's something better to come. And God will, in this life, give us little by little, right, provide those things back, but he guarantees them in glory. And at the very end of the answer 127, we firmly resist our enemies until when we finally win the complete victory. That's glory, beloved. That's glory. That's when we see Jesus eye to eye. Face to face. Think about that. Your Savior. Complete victory. But let's go back to Job for a second. I think I'll end with this. We'll go back to Job for a second. Job lost everything. And he didn't even know what the battle was going on. Right? He wrestled with God. And after God had put him in his place, right, God restored to Job everything. Right? If you read the end chapters of Job, God gives him double what he lost. Double. That's an eternal inheritance. About the story of Job. It wasn't Job against God, was it? The story starts out with the devil against God. It was the devil that said, I can snatch anyone from your hand. But guess what? We know that's not true. But God, I love those words, but God, though he allowed more than Job would ever want. Sometimes he allows more than we would ever want to go through. Right? Job was never too far out of the reach of God, was he? And beloved, you aren't either. In this battle that we're fighting with the devil and with our flesh and with the world, you are not alone. And if you think you're alone, you can't do it on your own. You just can't. See, we've been warned. This shouldn't take us by surprise. And if our response is that we stand firm in the faith and that we put on the armor of God and we do this with the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to succeed, aren't we? That's the key. Don't rely on your own strength to win the battle. But after we've prepared for it, we rely on the Lord's strength and the power of the Holy Spirit will get you through. That's why we pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And guess what? He will. He will. Because, beloved, your adversary seeks your soul. And we need to be praying that the God of all grace will sustain us to the very end. Because that's where the power lies, in him and not us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, like I said in the beginning of the sermon, which we heard, sometimes we get full of ourselves. Sometimes we think, we got this. We could do this on our own. But Lord, we can't. And I think a lot of us know that. And I think sometimes we kind of fall into that trap, Lord, where we think we are doing this on our own. And then we find ourselves in a place we don't want to be. We find ourselves defeated. We find ourselves weak. We find ourselves alone. Lord, we're not alone. You're with us. Lord, we've been warned. We know that there are enemies out there. Lord, and our prayer is that we respond faithfully. We respond with the armor of God on. We respond knowing that there's a fight, that we stand strong, we stand firm. Lord, but we can't do any of that without your Holy Spirit. So we pray for that power of the Holy Spirit to give us what we need. All the pieces of the armor to fight the battle. And you will sustain us in the end. contended for the faith. Now it's our turn, Lord. Help us to stand strong against all of our enemies, even the devil. Lord, and when we feel that we're by ourselves, Lord, bring other Christians around us to help us to stand back up, back in line, continue the fight. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray them in your Son's precious name, in the name of Jesus.